Our lesson today is taken out of the second chapter of the book called The Acts of the Apostles. The commencement of this chapter we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost was a festival of the Jews in which they celebrated the commemoration of their deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Pentecost also signifies 50. It was 50 days after that Christ ascended up into heaven, or after the Passover, that they observed this festival. There were many Jews gathered together in the city of Jerusalem to commemorate this festival. It was a joyous occasion. And we find that they were all with one accord in one place. In the 14th verse of the first chapter, we read that there the disciples and the women and Mary and the brethren of Jesus were gathered together, and they were supplicating and praying for the fulfillment of the promise that Christ had given unto them. He had charged them in the city of Jerusalem, and that the promise of the Father would be fulfilled upon them, that the day would come when they would be endued with power from on high, and that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon them. They were then together in one accord. They were united together, looking up unto God for the fulfillment of this promise. They were one in faith, in hope, in love, in expectation, in desire. They were filled with prayer unitedly for this special promise that Christ had given unto them. They are a type of the Church of Christ throughout all ages. The Church of Christ is described by the Apostle Paul as the children of promise. Wherever God descends with his Spirit in a sinner's soul, we find that he usually descends with a promise. He descended to our first parents, Adam and Eve, and he gave unto them a promise of a Savior. And from then on, God has been pleased to give promises to his people. Now, these people are similar to this group of people that were in this large upper room supplicating for the fulfillment of the promise. These people who are born again and who have received the promise of God will likewise be a supplicating and a praying people looking for the fulfillment of the promise that God has given unto them. It is God that gives the promises, that fulfills the promises. We read of Abraham that he received the promise of a son. He received this promise in faith, but it took such a long time before God fulfilled this promise that we see Abraham trying to fulfill this promise himself. Sarah, she gave unto him Hagar, her handmaiden, as a wife. But this was not the way that God was to fulfill this promise. It had to become an impossibility, and then God would reveal his glory and his majesty in fulfilling the promise. For Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 when this promise was fulfilled. There may be some hearers with me who have received the promise, and likewise, they have been supplicating and praying when they received this promise that it would be fulfilled. But time has worn on. You probably have this promise only in your memory. You are not even exercised anymore concerning the promise. At times you think maybe it was not even a promise of God. Maybe you deceived yourself. But God, who is faithful to his word and who keeps his promises, he remembers his word unto 1,000 generations. And if he has given you a promise, my hearer, he most certainly will fulfill it in his own time and in his own way. And it will go just like it did with Abraham. It goes almost to the impossibility that he may receive the honor and the glory of the fulfillment thereof. These people then were united together in one accord. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. I don't think that we can find a church, even amongst our own group, and likewise amongst any of the churches, that were united as these people were in one accord. What does that mean? Oh, they were united together in love, in prayer, in supplication, looking up unto God. Their hearts were going out to him, the living God. Oh, how sad is the state and condition of the church in the times in which we live. Oh, what discord. How little union, how little communion, how little fellowship is to be found, even amongst those who have been born again, who have the Spirit of God, and who have been united together at times at the throne of grace. Oh, there is so little of this being of one accord. My hearers, may we as a church pray that God may give us more of this spirit to be of one accord. Oh, what this means to be united together. There God condescends to dwell, and there we will find his blessings. These people then, being grouped together in this upper room, praying in this manner, we find suddenly that there was a rushing, mighty wind, and the sound thereof was heard throughout the city of Jerusalem. There were many Jews gathered together at this particular time, and they, on the morning of this day, assembled in the temple to come to this morning sacrifice, the burnt sacrifice. And as they were waiting for this sacrifice to commence, they heard this rushing sound as of a mighty wind. They all looked astounded. They all looked to wonder where this wind and this noise came from. It was like a hurricane. These people seen a clear sky. They seen no storms approaching the city. And still they heard this sound. And now this sound came from this upper room where these 120 people were gathered. And these people praying and supplicating, they likewise heard this sound. This was an outward sign of the Spirit of God coming down upon these people. It was a noise as of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled all the place where they were sitting. Wind, my hearers, is typified in Scripture by the Spirit of God. We read, Jesus spoke unto Nicodemus and said unto him, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and thou knowest not where that it cometh from or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. When God created this great universe, then the Spirit of God brooded over the chaos, just like a hen brooding over its eggs or over its young, protecting it. So the Spirit of God is described as brooding over this great universe. This Spirit then came down with this noise upon this group of people that were gathered together. And this wind, my hearers, was from heaven. It came from heaven.
which was a sign that it was something from God, something that had never before taken place. It was God that performed this great wonder. And then these people, they came rushing to this place where this noise was heard, and they seen these people grouped together, and over the top of these people, they seen tongues as of fire. This signified by which way these apostles would bring the message of the gospel. They were tongues divided, which meant that they would speak in various languages. These tongues, my hearers, were flames of fire darting in different directions. Fire is a sign of the visible presence of God. He came down in this burning bush when Moses was in the wilderness. He spake to him out of the midst of this burning bush. Fire likewise we find upon Mount Sinai in the giving of the law. He came down upon this mountain and gave unto Israel his fiery law. Fire then is a resemblance of the presence of God. Fire, it melts, it humbles, it consumes, and it makes warm. These people then were given from heaven that the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and visible signs of it were seen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what does that mean, my hearers, to be filled with the Holy Ghost? It means that the third person in the Trinity came down into their hearts and took possession of them. God came into them and dwelt in them. He took possession of all their faculties, of their minds, and of their tongues, and of every particle of them. They were just filled with God. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was not these men or women that were speaking anymore, but it was the Spirit. God the Spirit speaking and using these men and women to bring the message. And they spake with the Spirit's power likewise. They spake many different languages, for there were gathered together at this time Jews devout out of all the nations of the world known at that time. And they began to speak as the Spirit taught them what to speak. They had never learned these languages. They had no notes. They had no commentary. They had nothing to go by. The Spirit just breathed into them, and they spake it out. And they spake so fluently, so plainly, so clearly, that the people that were listening, they marveled and they were amazed. And they said, "Are not all these men Galileans? How hear we them speak then in our own tongue in which we were born?" Oh, these people that were watching this, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had taken place. Never had they heard or seen anything like this. These people, they were speaking of the wonderful works of God. They didn't speak about what was going on in the world. They didn't speak about their neighbors, but they spake to the glory and to the honor of God. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, when God takes possession of us, when he fills us with his Spirit, and when we are gifted to speak to his honor and to his glory. Sad to say, how few do we find in the world today who have been anointed in this way with the Spirit of God and who God makes use of. Oh, he established here his church in a wonderful manner, and he breathed upon all these people gathered together at this time. And we find that all these people watching this were filled with amazement and wonder. They seen that it was from God. But wherever these people may be gathered together, my hearers, the devil is sure to be right there too. For he was there. Immediately he influenced some of them to speak against what had just taken place. And they began to say, these men are filled with new wine. Therefore they speak this way. In the Holland Virgin it says they were filled with sweet wine. The English says new wine. And we find that these people, they spake that they were drunk, and therefore they spake in this manner and acted in this manner. All my hearers, I could wish that me and you were drunk like this. What a blessed thing it would be to be filled with the Spirit of God and to speak about his wonderful works. And now they ridiculed and they mocked the works of the Holy Spirit. They came very near to transgressing this sin, which is the unpardonable sin. And Peter, who heard them speaking in this manner, and who was the boldest of them all, he immediately stood up and he began to defend what was taking place. He began to speak unto them and say, men and brethren, they are not drunken as ye surmise. It is only the third hour of the day. But this is taking place, what is written in the prophet Joel. He commences to speak from Scripture and point out to them that God was fulfilling his promise and that he was bringing down upon their sons and upon their daughters his blessed Spirit. And therefore, what was taking place was but a fulfillment of what he had promised long time before. And now Peter continues to speak, and he points out to them about Jesus and how that David already had prophesied of him. And he brings in Psalm 16, referring to how that he, Jesus, would not remain dead, that his soul would not remain in hell, but that he would arise again. He speaks to them then about Jesus, about his resurrection. And he brings home to these people their terrible sin and what they had done. That God had exalted this Jesus and had set him at his right hand, and that it was he that had brought to pass what they now saw, and that they with wicked hands had crucified this Lord Jesus Christ. And my hearers, while he was speaking in this manner, the Spirit of God accompanied the word with such power that it entered into the hearts of those that were listening to Peter. For we read, and they were pricked in their hearts. The Spirit came like a knife, like a sword, and brought that word home to them. Ye have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my hearers, they were smitten then, and they received such a wound, the Spirit working so powerfully that they were brought to their wits' end. They knew not what to do. They were given to believe by faith that they had crucified the Lord of life and glory. And all this, that horrid crime that they were guilty of, brought them to that. What must we do? What have we done? Oh, how guilty are we? And they began to cry out, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Oh, my hearers, The Spirit of God then worked mightily upon these people. They were then convicted of their sin, and they were brought to cry out to the apostles, "What must we do?" And then we find Peter directing them that they should repent and that they should be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my hearers, to repent is not just a new religious idea, not just a new notion, not just a new religious group gathering together and bringing forward some sort of belief. Oh, repentance, my hearers, is a gift of God. A repentance is when the Spirit of God comes down into a person's soul and convicts him of sin. Or he is given to see all his sins, what he has done against God. And all my hearers, such a person under the operation of the Spirit is led to see he has sinned against a good, a kind, a gracious, and a merciful God. It is accompanied with a godly sorrow. How many of my hearers have ever experienced what repentance is? Oh, I could wish that every one of you were brought to true repentance. All repentance is a sign that the Spirit of God has come down into your soul. Oh, what a blessing to have a godly sorrow. Oh, to go and hide somewheres in a room by yourself and to weep and to cry because you have sinned against God. How many of my hearers know something about that? How many are strangers to the workings of the Spirit of God? How many think we just have to believe and that's all that's necessary? They do not need the operation of the Spirit of God. Oh, the Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness. Oh, the righteousness that such a creature has becomes like filthy rags. He hasn't any righteousness anymore in the sight of God. Oh, he fears that soon the day of judgment is going to come, and then God will judge him or her, and he or she will surely be consumed. Oh, they are found, my hearers, weeping and sighing and groaning unto God for mercy. Oh, the cry of the publican is no strange cry to a person that is brought to repentance. Here the Spirit of God brought these people to that position. What must we do? So many people know what to do today. They can do it themselves, but these creatures knew not what to do. Have you ever been there, my hearers? Has God ever brought you there that you didn't know what to do anymore? Or that you felt you were lost, you were ruined, you were undone, and that you needed someone to save you? Oh, I could wish that every one of my hearers were brought there. That is where the Spirit brings every elect soul, every soul chosen by God from all eternity, are brought to true repentance. And these people were brought there by the Spirit of God. 3,000 of them were pricked in their hearts that day. 3,000 of them who received the word gladly, they were led to repentance. They were led to be baptized. They were added to the church, to that 120 people that were grouped together. Oh, what a glorious harvest of souls did that one sermon bring in. 3,000 sermons are preached today throughout a course of years, and not one soul is saved, not one soul brought to Jesus. How many of my hearers have heard over 3,000 sermons already in their lifetime? And what has it brought to you? Nothing. You remain what you are. Oh, you see, my hearers, that the Spirit of God must accompany the word, or it leaves you in the state you are in. Oh, pray that the Spirit may dwell amongst us. Pray for a blessed outpouring of it upon us and upon our sea, or we are lost, or we are ruined, we are undone. My hearers, are these people then, are these 3,000 people, they were joined together, and these people, they were so united together. Oh, that's so true when a soul is just born again, how it mingles with the people of God, how it feels such an attachment and such an affection to them. Oh, they are of one spirit with them. Their prayers, they unite with. Their love, when they speak of it, they have the very same thing in their own hearts. Oh, what union there is when God makes union. Oh, that's a union that's closer than the band between man and wife. They love each other with a love that exceeds all natural love. You know anything about it? Ever experienced it? Oh, how sad is your case if you are still in your sins and never had the operation of the Spirit of God upon your soul. My hearers, these people then, they were of one accord, and they went from house to house breaking bread, and they had all things in common with each other, and they brought all their wealth to the apostles' feet. They were so loose of the world, so loose of their riches, so loose of everything. Oh, they just loved the Lord so simply, so childlike. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to live for him. He was everything for them. Has he ever become that for you, my hearers? Do you want to live for him? Have you ever had it in your heart, I will make a covenant with the Lord? Have you ever written with your name, I am the Lord's? And that is what these people did when the Spirit of God came down upon them. Oh, my hearers, this group of people, they resemble the Church of Christ even to this day. These people were gathered together with one accord. They were united in praying and supplicating. That still takes place. Although I did speak about much discord and not much union, there are yet, even amongst us, a few scattered ones that are united together, or that at times feel the Spirit operating in their hearts, binding them together at the throne of grace. And they are unitedly crying that the Spirit of God would come down in their midst and witness with the word. Do you know anything about that? Oh, what a blessing it is. And we read that the Spirit did come down here in the midst of these people. Oh, how wonderful it is when the Spirit of God comes down. There have been times that every one of God's children had something on the sermon. Oh, that every one of their hearts were touched and affected because the Spirit took of the word and applied it. Oh, how seldom, though, this takes place. It took place here, my hearers. They were all united together in one, and they all had everything together. What a blessing. And we find likewise that this Spirit of God came down. And it came down like a rushing, mighty wind. Oh, when the Spirit comes down, my hearers, it comes with such force, with such power, that it takes everything with it. It takes away everything of the creature, all the dross, and all what he believes he thinks is good in God's sight is carried away by the wind of the Spirit. And the Spirit empties the creature of itself, and it leaves him to cry for mercy, for pardon, for peace. Oh, I wonder if this Spirit ever has come upon you in this way. It comes as a wind. We don't know sometimes which way the wind blows, and we don't know which way this wind is blowing upon us. So Christ describes it himself. Oh, with some it comes with force, with some it comes like by Paul. He was stopped on the way to Damascus. But all with others, it's just as I describe, a brooding like the hen over the chicken. And soon we see the signs of this spirit upon this person. This person is separated. It cannot go on any longer in sin. It cannot live with the world anymore. It finds itself isolated. It finds itself hated and despised for its viewpoints, for coming out for the truth, for speaking against sin. Oh, my hearers, this Spirit of God brooding upon such a person brings that person upon its knees. And this Spirit reveals unto this person the beauty, the excellency of Jesus. Oh, what a glorious sight this is for a sinner to see something of the way of salvation in Christ. Have you ever experienced something like that? Has a door ever went open in the valley of Acre for you, that you've seen there was a way of escape, that Jesus was set before you as a refuge, that his blood was able to cleanse you from all sin, that his righteousness was sufficient to cover you where you were filled with unrighteousness? Or have you found in this leadings of the Spirit that this precious Jesus spoke to you? Oh, that he whispered something in your heart, that he gave you to hear his voice, and how sweet it was. Oh, I think I'm speaking such strange language to my hearers. I'm thinking that there are so few that understand what I'm talking about. Oh, I hope and I pray that God's dear Spirit may come upon every one of you, that it may not be a language that you do not know anything about. For if you do not know anything about it, then you're not interested. Then it's a boring message. Then the lesson does not interest you either. But if you have something going on within you, then you would say, speak, man, speak. Tell us more and more about what goes on in the city of man's soul. Tell us what this Spirit does, so that I may see and I may correspond what's going on in my own heart with what you are talking about. Therefore, my hearers, the Spirit of God speaks in and through the medium of the Word and brings home the words to the sinner's heart. And it is such a comfort and such an enlightenment for such a creature to hear those things that his heart again feels the power of the Word and of the Spirit, and is given to believe that truly that is the work that God has begun, and that that work is begun in that particular soul. Oh, my hearers, these people gathered together, they were given to speak with other tongues. Oh, this, my hearers, is something that happens likewise with every sinner that's born again. Oh, everybody has a tongue, and how do you use your tongue? James gives us a whole chapter about it, how people use their tongues. Oh, formerly, these creatures, before the Spirit came upon them, oh, they probably cursed, they swore, they used their tongues to speak filthy language, and they used their tongues against their neighbors, and they cursed God and bless their neighbor at the same time, as James says. Are you guilty of those things, my hearers? Do you remember the time when you used your tongue for the devil, for his service, for sin, to please the creatures round about you, to make them laugh, to make them jest? Oh, how often do we use our tongues to dishonor, and we use them not to the glory of God, but to the shame of our own person. And we realize it not. But when the Spirit of God comes, my hearers, These people were given to speak with other tongues. And every soul born again is given to speak with another tongue. Oh, then you find some persons, they can't speak. They dare not speak. Are you one of them? Are you such a mute Christian? You dare not come out with what's going on within you? Oh, there'll be a day coming when you will be able to speak. It says in the Bible that the stones would speak before that they would keep quiet. But oh, what a blessing when God takes possession of our tongue. Has he taken possession of yours? Have you been given to go in secret and to confess what you have used your tongue for before? Have it become a shame to you that you were using your tongue in such a manner? I must confess my errors. That is what I have done. Oh, how I have misused my tongue in that way, never realizing that there would be a day coming that I would lead a group of people and speak with a different tongue. Speak, if it may be, to the honor and to the glory of God. All such sinners, my hearers, they use their tongues in secret mostly. They tell God what's going on within them. They tell God what they did against him all their life long. They don't have much to say to people, but they have so much to say inside to God in their secret chambers. You know anything about that? You ever go in secret? You ever got anything to tell God? Nothing? Oh, how sad is your case. Oh, I wish that every one of my hearers were led in secret and led to explain to God just what they are. That's what the Spirit gives us to do. He gives us to tell God in a childlike way and so truthfully, so honestly, so sincerely what we are personally, individually. Not when anybody else is. Oh, then we become the chiefest of sinners. And you know, that's speaking with another tongue. You never did that before, did you? You never went in secret before. You never told God that you was a sinner. You never went on your knees crying, "Oh God, be merciful to me." You have another tongue given to you. The Spirit of God is making use of your tongue to pray, to supplicate for mercy. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing when God takes possession of a sinner and leads him a step further and gives him to come out, to tell what God has done for his soul. Oh, it's a great blessing in this life when we have freedom, when we have boldness, when we may speak. Oh, so many are afraid to speak. So many see much, so much of themselves that their lips are silent. They dare not speak. But oh, when God gives them to see something of Jesus, oh, and to hear his wonderful voice, and oh, to be led by faith, to behold him as their Savior, oh, as the way of salvation for them, then they must speak. Oh, then they come out. Then they come out openly. They tell others what God has done for them. And they have such liberty. Oh, they find it such a blessing to do so. Especially meeting with God's people. Oh, how I wish that every one of my hearers was given a new tongue, and you only spake what God gave you to speak about. Oh, then our words wouldn't be many. They would be very few. Oh, may God, in his infinite mercy, bless this feeble message to your immortal souls. Our time is gone, my hearers. I cannot continue any longer with the lesson. That's all for today.